Well, yeah, we lied. It's Everyday Life with Rook and Fino. And we out here trying to, finna get our interview with Karen Webb, man. We ain't gonna hold him. We see home. We got a lot to do, taking pictures. But we out here in the atmosphere. What you got to say to the folk, Rook?
Man, we just excited to be here today. Everybody get out there and vote.
We masked
We got 3 more days to vote, so everybody get out there.
Get out there and vote, man.
Three more days to vote, y'all. Y'all get out.
Three more days, man.
Man, so we got 3 more days. Time for everybody.
Yeah, if you young and you black, man, get out there and vote. We need everybody. All hands on deck, like Rook said.
All hands on deck. You know what I'm saying? We got 3 more days to get out there and do what we need to do. So we need y'all to get out there to do it. So what you think about this,
Fino? I'm with it, man. I'm about to just ask him what he got, you know, what kind of message do you have to the streets and to the people that, you know, the people that need it, that don't know you, that need to get out here and vote, why they should come and vote for you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a good question.
That's a great question. Definitely. Yeah, I'm straight from Virginia. You see how we coming, man? We working, even on the weekend.
Even on the weekend.
You see that?
Y'all be with it.
You scan that. Boom. All right. Then you get in the building.
Are you sure you don't want a picture?
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Let's do it.
I'll get it.
Y'all be ready for the next episode.
Yeah, be ready for the next episode, man.
Tomorrow at
7:30 on Spotify. Believe that. On Anchor. Anchor FM.
I really appreciate you coming from that space.
Everyday Life with Rook and Fino live.
Yeah, see, they got the line. What's going on, man? Fino, Everyday Life with Rook and Fino podcast. Nice to meet you, Mr. Karen Webb.
Nice to meet you, too.
So, yeah, we're just doing we got a quick message. We want you to send a message, and we have one quick question for you. What is a message that you want the people that weren't here and the people from the, you know, I would say, like, from the streets, you would want them to know about you and why they should come out here and vote for you?
Well, I think people need to come out to vote because they need to make their voices heard. You know, their futures are being shaped with or without them, and it's going to be shaped better if it's with them, with their voices at the center of it. In terms of about me, I'm just a straight up authentic guy. That's who I am. That's how I carry myself. I'm always going to speak the truth. I'm always going to speak on behalf of the people. I'm an advocate. I'm passionate. And I think that more than that, I know my stuff. I know how I can help. I know how I can engage. And I'm always interested in reaching out to everybody.
And we appreciate that. I think we got a lot of clearance with you from, you know, hearing you talking, man. And we've been on it. So it was important for us to get out here today and talk to you. So I think another question that we have for you is, what are some things that you could possibly, some changes that you could help bring to Martinsville and Henry County?
Well, I think there are a couple of things to start. Yeah, you know, the first thing to keep in mind is that people don't have access to opportunities in the same ways. So in Henry County in particular, if you look at broadband access, that's supposed to be something everybody has, right?
Yeah.
But yet and still, there's a huge disparity in who has and who doesn't. We call that the digital divide. So when I say I'm about equity and justice, it's about finding those root causes of these disparities. Things like basic access to critical infrastructure like broadband, that's a good place to start. Because that can unlock potential in education, unlock opportunities in health, and unlock opportunities for entrepreneurs.
Definitely.
And so that's the kind of thing. If you want to get to the root of our problems, it's finding out how to build a more equitable society. So that's one way to start. I think our schools, investment in our schools is critical.
Yeah.
You know, that K-12 education, you've got to finish that 12th grade ready for whatever it is that you need to do.
It's detrimental.
There are people who are actively making arguments to cut funding to our schools and to privatize it completely. We cannot let that happen. We've got to make sure that it is a societal responsibility to invest in our schools.
Definitely.
Right? And I think that's so important because that sets the stage for the future. And again, not everybody's going to go to a 4-year college or university. In this congressional district, 70% of the people don't go to a 4-year college or university. So they need to have job training programs, vocational tech programs, apprenticeships, access to community colleges.
Definitely.
No matter who you are, when you finish your schooling, there's got to be a path to a good paying job for you. Right, and so that's the kind of stuff that we need to be focused on.
Definitely,
because again, that's what changes our communities. That's what unlocks potential.
I know he gotta go.
Thank you.
Thank y'all. Thank you. Thank y'all.
Let him call you.
Yeah, you definitely call me. Y'all, y'all. Hey.
We'll get him 5 minutes.
Peace. Peace, love, and hair grease. Everyday life with Rook and Fino, man. That concludes our interview with Cameron Webb. Let's go.
Waking up, reaching out, and saying I want to help. Saying I want to serve. Saying I want to be here to be a part of the change that we need to see in our communities. Day 451. But these last 3 days and 5 hours, these are some of the most important days and hours. Raise your hand if you've already voted. Let's go!
Let's go! Let's go!
Let's go! You've already voted, you've already made your voice heard. That's huge. We need that. We need every single voice. Here in the 5th Congressional District, we already have more than 200,000 individuals who voted in this election.
Right. That's major. That's major.
That's awesome. But again, it's not enough.
Everyday Life with Rook and Fino, the podcast. We here live, Jack Dalton Park in Collinsville, Virginia, with Dr. Cameron Webb for Congress. So that's the move today. That's how we coming, man. Let's go.
I got that from growing up, and I got that because I want to actually create meaningful change. Consensus builder, focus on equity and justice, and about action. That's the third thing. Some examples. When I was in medical school, I started a student-run free clinic because folks didn't have access to the care they needed. We named the clinic Delivering Equal Access to Care, or DEAC, because Wake Forest's mascot is the Demon Deacons. And we were like, listen, people need access to the care that they deserve, right? They should have access to care, and we're going to help deliver that. I met with the mayor and the city council. I negotiated the contract for the building for $1 a year. That's some good negotiating. I got the prescription drugs for the patients. I coordinated the volunteer physicians. 13 years later, that clinic is one of the biggest draws to Wake Forest School of Medicine. Or when I was in law school, starting something called the Health Justice Project, a medical legal partnership, because sometimes people, you think they've got health care needs, but really they got legal needs. Issues with their housing that they need fixed, or issues with public benefits like Medicaid they need help with, right? Sometimes legal services alone. And so working to address the legal needs of our patients, not just talking about the fact you've got some legal needs. No, giving them the services, about the action. Or when I was in residency, I remember as an internal medicine resident, that's my specialty. We have two clinics that we get to do during our training. The first is your main primary care clinic. And the second is whatever you choose. It can be cardiology, so the heart doctors, or it could be infectious disease, whatever you want. And for me, I chose community organizing in East Harlem. I did my training in New York City.
Okay.
And the program director said, that's not a clinic, Cameron. But I said, isn't it though, right? Health doesn't happen in hospitals and clinics. You spend a very little bit of your life in a hospital or a clinic. Health happens in communities.
Yeah.
It happens in the places where we are born, grow, live, learn, eat, play, and pray. And if we're not spending our time in those spaces to keep people healthy, then we're missing it. We're behind the eight ball. I said, let me go upstream of the problems, then I can do some good. I used every bit of that law degree. They were like, okay, all right. You can do it, Cameron. You can do it. About the action. So number one is I'm a consensus builder, right? Number one is what? Number two is I'm always about equity and justice. And number three is I'm about that action. Those three things, that's who I am. That's what I bring to this race. That's what I hope to bring to Congress. And the thing is, when you put those things together, that's what led me to the White House in 2016. You know, I deeply admired President Obama, and for me, I said, this president has done so much to improve the health of my patients. I remember I had an individual in a clinic in 2013 who, in that year, was not able to get the test for diabetes. Some of you know what I'm talking about, that A1C test that you get every 3 months. He couldn't afford it because the test was $10, and he had to choose between that test or the thyroid test. What kind of healthcare system is that?
True.
Where you've got to make those kind of decisions in an annual visit. In the very next year, because of the Medicaid expansion from the Affordable Care Act, that man got all of the tests that he needed. The basic primary care to give him an opportunity to stay healthy. That's what the Affordable Care Act means to me. And that's what it means to so many of you. And that president who made that possible, I said, if I ever have the chance to support that president, I will. So I applied for the White House Fellowship. It's a mid-career, year-long program to work at the highest levels of government. They only pick 15 people a year. And you're working directly with the Secretary of Education or the
Secretary of Defense, or the Attorney General, not in the basement of some administrative building. You're at the highest levels of government. And I was blessed because I was picked to work in the executive office of the president. I worked on President Obama's White House Healthcare Team. And I worked on this program called My Brother's Keeper, which was a social justice program to improve life outcomes for boys and young men of color. So there I was working at the intersection of health and social justice. That's the place I like to be. And I saw from that vantage point in the White House, working with 23 federal offices and agencies, I said, this federal government can be doing a lot for the people if we use it for good. If we point all of these resources, all of this know-how, all of this capability toward the needs of the people, we can do a lot. And you see, I fully expected when I went to the White House, because it was a year-long nonpartisan program, fully expected that I was going to span two administrations. And I actually thought I was going to serve both the first black president and the first woman president, but man, it did not work out. It did not. But after that election in November, I had a choice to make. I said, do I stick around for this Trump administration that I know things are going to be very different, or do I cut bait and go? Time for me to leave, go somewhere else to do my work. And all I had to do was look inside. And those three things you need to know about me. The first is that I'm a consensus builder. Second is that I'm passionate about equity and justice. And third is that I'm always about that action. Always about that action. And so what I said was, listen, if I can't do some good in the Trump administration, nobody can. Then I had a mentor who actually said, you might be the last voice for social justice in this building. And I said, I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that charge, and I'm going to live it. I showed up to work that first day, and they had cleaned out my office and thrown away my things.
Wow.
And I said, okay, well, so where do you want me to be? Well, actually, they said, we don't want you in the office with us. In fact, there's some desks in the hallway. Just pick one of those. So I said, you know what? I'm gonna let them get used to stuff. I'm gonna sit at that desk for a little bit. It might take 2 days. 2 days came and went, I was still in that hallway. 2 weeks came and went, I was still in that hallway. 2 months later, I'm still in that hallway, but I showed up every day because I'm tenacious. I showed up every day because I'm never deterred. I showed up every day because I was working for the people, but not for that administration. And I showed up every day because they made a big mistake. Their mistake was that they put an extrovert in the hallway. So all I had to do was go around every day and talk to people. Break down walls, break down barriers, pop in on the education policy folks and say, hey, let's talk about school, because public school changed my life, gave me so many opportunities. My mom's been a public school teacher for so long. Now talk to me about this school choice thing. Right, because I can tell you why Horace Mann's vision was that public school was the great equalizer, gave everybody a chance for an education in this America, and I think that's a good thing. Let's have that conversation.
Yeah.
Or on healthcare, where they were saying repeal and replace, repeal and replace, and I was like, but 20 million people got insurance, I think that's a good thing. Why can't we build on that?
Yeah.
Right? It's not about who gets credit politically. It's about who keeps us moving forward. We still have 30 million people to cover. Don't move us backward. Right? Those are the conversations that we needed to be having. You know, and you got to call out things when they go well. Criminal justice reform, and this was after my time. Remember, the Trump administration passed, they ultimately signed the First Step Act. That's some criminal justice reform. So we have to be able to say, no, that's good. Do things like that. It's sentencing reform. It's corrections reform. More things like that. But there's more that we need to do, right? And so for me, being an extrovert, walking around that building, talking to people, I learned how to have that tough conversation, how to find that point of commonality, how to find that point of connection from which you could have the conversation. And I realized there's a lot that we can build on between these political parties. There's a lot of bridges we can build within our range of political ideology in this country. And I said, we can do work together if only we lean into it. You know, I left that White House. No, I ran out of that White House. And when I left, after my year was done, what I realized was that it was time to go home. Come back to Central Virginia. That's where it was time to come home. My wife's from Appomattox County, like I told you. So she's from Appomattox. I'm from Spotsylvania. We said, we're coming back to the part of this country, the part of this commonwealth that we call home. You know, and that's important because there's a passion that you've got for home.
Yeah.
There's a purpose that you have when you're serving the people at home. Mm-hmm. And we were serving as physicians. My wife, as my daughter says, she's a cooler doctor than I am. She's an emergency doctor. And for my wife, it was powerful coming back. She's the first born and raised black resident of Appomattox to become a physician. And every time people from Appomattox come to the hospital at the University of Virginia, they know her. They're like, you're Pastor Jones's daughter. You know? That's the power of being at home. But for me, even that, even being in that space, knowing that this is a chance to do some real service, I couldn't shake what I saw in the White House. You see, I'm taking care of folks with diabetes, and I'm seeing food insecurity. Taking care of folks with heart disease, and I'm seeing income inequality or housing instability and the stress that that causes. I'm seeing the fact that health doesn't happen in hospitals and clinics, it happens in communities. And that health is in all policies. And that our policies should create a society that gives people a chance to be healthy. That's what I'm seeing. And that's what sparked that idea, that maybe I could be doing more. Maybe I could use my skill set, my experiences, my background, and my passions to serve people in addition to what I'm doing clinically. And the thing that tipped it over, the thing that made me decide I'm running for office, that was this court case that might strike down the entire Affordable Care Act. See, I've seen up close and personal the good that it's done, and I know it's not perfect, but I know we can build upon it. And to tell me the court can make a decision and get rid of the entire law on November 10th, who's going to be there to pick up the pieces? Who's going to be there to build on our healthcare system? Who's going to be there to help make sure that it works? And I was in the White House today. President Trump said, who knew healthcare could be so complicated? I know healthcare could be so complicated. Who's going to be there? And the truth is, sometimes we are the ones we're waiting for.
All right.
We are the ones. And so I said, that's it. I'm running. 451 days ago, I said, I'm running. And for these last 14 and a half months, it's been going all right. You know, we won a primary that was competitive with 2/3 of the vote. We won in all 21 counties and in both cities here in Virginia's been. We started this momentum. We galvanized the Democratic Party, but we said, it's not just Democrats. There's a lot of independents in this district. Independents are one of the largest voting groups in the 5th Congressional District. And we have to give them something to believe in. It's not about party, it's about people. And so then reaching out and having those conversations every single day, saying, here's what I aim to do, here's how I aim to help, here's how I want to serve. That's why I'm here. And it went from a likely Republican seat in May to a leans Republican seat in June to a toss-up race in September to a toss-up leaning Democratic right now because we are going to seven straight polls that show that we pulled into the lead, but that won't do it.
Right.
What's going to do it is showing up. Polls don't vote, people do. And so for each and every one of you, again, raise your hands if you've already voted. Look at that. Look around. And then think about who's not here. Because we win this race by how well we connect with those people who aren't here. That's how we win this race. That's how we share these ideas. That's how we share this philosophy that everyone should have access, opportunities for health and success. That's how we share this philosophy that we should be putting people over politics, that we should have a strong and passionate and capable voice in Washington that speaks for us. Right. That's how we do it.
Right.
One person at a time. So for each of you, there are three things that you're supposed to remember about me, right?
Yeah.
Number one is that I'm a
consensus
builder. Number two is I'm passionate about equity and justice. And finally, I'm always about that
action.
That's right. And I want you to go out and share that message and tell that story. I want you to think about your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your relatives, anybody you can find, and say, have you voted yet? You don't even have to tell them who to vote for, although you should. You just have to tell them to vote. Because what we know is this is a contest of ideas. And we've got the better ideas. This is a contest of character, of passion, of experience, and oh, we've got that. And so when it comes down to it, you tell them to vote. And when we vote, we win.
Yeah.
Right. I said, when we vote,
we win.
I said, when we vote,
we win.
Right, this year, this district doesn't flip every year. 20 years, one time a Democrat has won. In 20 years.
Yeah. Tom Perry.
But we're going to win this time.
Yeah.
We're going to win because of what we're going to do for the next 3 days. We're going to win because because you're going to count the people you're going to reach out to, and then you're going to go one step farther. We're going to win because we believe it, because we visualize it, because we know this is the moment. You can choose a lot of things in politics, but you can't choose your moment. And in the moment when we have a global health pandemic and a national crisis of racial injustice, we need a doctor who's passionate about healing. We need somebody who knows about fighting for social justice. We need somebody from this district who knows this district, who's going to serve.